creators of the podcast dungeon, you have come across another goddamn horror podcast with Graham Fay, Jonas Barnes, and Ryan Danley.
A proud member of the Morbidly Beautiful Podcast Network.
Welcome, everybody, to another episode of another goddamn horror podcast. And it's fucking, this one's just me and Graham.
Yes.
We got no Ryan on this one because he's in Portland. And if he was in New York, he would have went with us.
He would have been there. Yeah.
He would have absolutely been there.
We missed him while we were there.
We did. Ryan would have had fun with us.
I would have felt less scared, probably.
How's it going over on that side of Brooklyn?
It's just gross. I'm getting up at like 5:30 in the morning, and like I've been really actually enjoying that because it's been gorgeous. But then today it was just crummy at 5:30 in the morning. So fuck
downpour,
that.
Dude. Yeah,
yeah, dude, that was gross. So
I woke up this morning to go to work, and I looked outside, and I was like, "Fucking, please tell me it's canceled." Like it was so much rain. But it was not canceled, so I had to go to work today, and I got soaked on the way home. So it is what it is. But yeah, that's the way it's been in Brooklyn today. So the reason that we're doing an episode with just me and you, because we got to do a really cool special thing. So as you guys know, we get like press things in the emails and stuff for screeners for movies and like different things like that. And like every now and then
we're popular.
Yeah. We got people that are like, you should tell your people about what we're doing. And I ended up getting one in the mail that was for a not snail mail. Nobody sends that stuff anymore. But I got a thing in there for a new attraction in New York City called Terror Vision.
Yeah.
So Terror Vision, if you guys
to be confused with the 80s Diane Franklin banger of a fucking sci-fi movie about television rave like waves in the sky and garbage from aliens and like swinging asshole parents. It's amazing.
Yeah. Definitely check out the movie. Check out the movie. Now, to be fair, this actually is a haunt. It's a live walk through a haunted house, haunted attraction. What they've done is it's actually the people behind it are Will Monroe and Kate Magosh, or I believe it's Magosh, might be Magesh. I apologize for the mispronouncing on that. But
I even thought McGeesh, but
yeah, it might be McGeesh. I didn't research that part before because I'm an asshole, but they're the people that are behind the Six Flags Fright Fest, so they know what they're doing. And this is cool because I'm a comedian in New York City. I've been a comedian in New York City now for almost 10 years, going on 15 years total, but 10 in New York City. And the building that this is in is at 300 West 43rd Street, which for anybody that's a comedian over the last 10 years in New York City would know that building as the old LOL building.
Where there was a mass comic murder ring, a massacre of like hundreds of comics one night. And it's every 28 days. I don't know.
No,
go ahead.
You're really kind of not wrong because we died so many abysmal deaths on that stage in that fucking spot. It was funny because when we got there, I was like, we got in the elevator. I was like, oh, I've been scared in this elevator before. Like, it's just the old LOL building, dude. It's like, first off, I have no problems talking shit about LOL on this podcast because I don't fucking work there anymore and I'm happy that I don't. But it's, so like if you could imagine any tourist trap that you could come up with in your head for a comedy club, LOL is that and worse. So it's like when you went upstairs for this show, there was multiple areas up in this area, up in this building that had different types of shows. So like Drunk Shakespeare was up there. There were some office things up there.
What's a good like New York staple comedy like the tourists could go into that they would enjoy themselves.
If you're going to go to New York and you're going to go as a tourist, first off, I'm not going to lie and say that the Comedy Cellar is not dope. It is. The Comedy Cellar is great. Like there's, and the Comedy Cellar also has three different rooms all within the same block. So like you kind of have a chance to see a good show no matter what. And they do, they have a good show. The Stand also has a good show almost every single night.
That's another. I like The Stand.
Yeah, it's a solid club. It's ran by people that know what they're doing. They treat customers well. Like the, so that's a good place too. If you're going out into Brooklyn, hit up the Tiny Cupboard. It's great. It's very DIY. Those people rule. Those places are all good. As far as Manhattan comedy clubs, I mean, you know, Gotham is kind of the one that everybody also knows, which is fine. Gotham's fine.
My wife is there right now.
Oh, nice. Molly's over there right now.
She's at Gotham. Yeah, there's an event that she's at. Yeah.
Yeah, Gotham is cool. Gotham is also the place that is the home of a fundraiser every year that my friend slash also fellow comic Rebecca Corey puts on called Save the Pits. And it's for pit bulls. So she does that because pit bull and pit bull terrier type dogs are unfairly treated and unfairly targeted by a lot of people over a lot of things that are falsehoods. So she has made it basically her life's work to bring more eyes to that problem and to help with it and to adopt and, you know, get more information out
but
there.
But yeah, there are good comedy clubs in New York City where LOL, you can usually
LOL is not one.
That's what I'm getting at.
Yeah.
I never even went. But I've heard stories.
Dude, okay, so this is just a side story. This is how fucking out of touch LOL is, I don't know, whatever you want to say. Bill Burr came into town. I think this was last year. It was like a year or a year and a half ago. Bill Burr was in town. He was running shows at, I want to say, like the Beacon Theater or something like that. It was a big show. So he was there, and he was rolling through comedy clubs to just work out some material. Like just doing drop-ins, which, you know, that's always cool. If you get to see Bill Burr, fuck yeah. He goes to LOL and they don't know who he is.
Oof.
Like they straight up didn't. They said, who are you? He goes, he was like, Bill Burr, fucking Bill Burr. And then he started like, and like he said this on his podcast, he said, like an asshole, I started rattling off my credits and they were looking at me like I just pissed in their face. They were just like, I don't know who you are, you gotta go talk to the booker about doing a spot. And he was like, don't fucking worry about it, it's fine. And then he left and he went to the Comedy Cellar and he did a drop in there. But this old building especially was really bad because, like I said, you take this elevator up and you get to these buildings, and if you were going to LOL, it looked nothing like a comedy club. It looked like different black box theaters that had no signage. It was just, you were walking into a very sketchy room. So it
sounds, it'll look like the area where they had like Sam Goody and what was that, TJ Maxx is in that corner of the mall. You say like LOL comedy club, that's what I think of.
Yeah, dude. Sam Goody's a deep cut. I used to go in there and be like, why in the fuck is a CD $24.95?
Yeah,
what has happened?
I can only afford these CD EPs. I
mean, that's crazy. So yeah, the building was already creepy. So when we got to the TerraVision thing, like they have it fully decked out like a straight up horror movie. Like it's awesome looking, you know. We also just,
it was cool. The entrance was cool. Like they've got like a big thing. You walk in, there's giant skeletons. And just people kind of hanging out that are dressed up and stuff, and just like kind of talking at you and stuff. It's pretty cool.
The ghouls are chilling outside. So just full disclosure, we went there opening night. So we did go there. This is their very first night, their very first like real, truly like admission run throughs of the performances. So, you know, we'll talk about this very honestly, like, because here's the thing. It was fun. Like we had a lot.
I didn't want to leave.
For sure. And we had a lot of fun with it. And the way it works is you go up in the elevator and they walk you through the haunt. Like, and the haunt is multiple rooms with multiple scenes with multiple actors, and they're doing their thing. Like,
it goes for a while. I thought I was really impressed. Like, you turn a lot of corners and stuff, and probably about a quarter of the way, I was like, all right, this is probably almost done. Just because of the way it felt, like you go up an elevator and then it opens up and there's a pretty big area where they gather the people and then they split into two groups. And I just like, we walked for a while and saw a bunch of cool things. And yeah, a quarter of the way through, I was like, it's probably almost over. And it just kept going, which I really appreciated because there was a lot of other cool shit to see.
Absolutely. And the way that it started was cool. You go in the elevator, you have somebody give you their little speech, their spiel, about telling you what's about to happen. Then you get up there and you have a director who is talking to you about everything that's going on. And that's the whole concept of it. You're walking into his movie. Like, that's the whole concept of what this whole haunt is, which is really cool. And he's a very skeezy director character. You know, he's doing some skeezy shit. And then he opens the door and lets you go. Like, he lets you walk through. And you're not really, I wouldn't say that you're walked through by a guide necessarily, but you are, like, you're free to walk through it at kind of your own speed. But
there's a group walking up behind you. Yeah. So you have to keep that up. And that was kind of like, I understand that, but like, that was one of the things I didn't like about it. And I think that's just the nature of a haunted house. Like, unless you're the last one there or own it, which would be super cool.
Right. Owning a haunted house.
You could just hang out, you know?
Yeah.
But But yeah, it was cool. Go ahead. Sorry.
No. And I was going to tell you the same. I was going to say the same thing, really. Like, that's really one of the only downsides of it, is that even though it went for a long time, like, I feel like if you could take your time through it and like really like take in all the stuff that they were doing, you would also almost appreciate it more, because there really was a lot of work put into this. Like, the set pieces are dope. The makeup was dope. They have really cool like gore effects, like, you know, different, like, I don't know if you want to call them mannequins or dummies or whatever. Like, they have bodies, they have people that are acting out certain scenes,
animatronics.
They have people that like pop out at you and stuff like that. Now, just, I want to make this very clear. This is a haunted house. It's not one of those dumb fucking like McCamey Manor type of things where they like run and jump out and like grab you or like whatever like that. It's not that. They don't touch you. It's nothing like that, but they will jump like right out at your face to scare you, and it works.
They'll pop
like,
out in a dark corner. You won't even see. They'll like be like under a blanket or something, and they'll like pop out. And I got scared a few times, and they'll like come out of windows, because there's windows like shadowy windows or cloudy windows, and all these turns and stuff. My only one of the things is there were some parts in it, like the satanic sculptures and shit, that I wanted to spend more time looking at.
Yeah.
And I think would have gotten me even more into like the feel of it. So I think they needed to take to sort of focus on that, because it was a little too dark to see that stuff. So it was a little too difficult to see in the light. And then you were being hurried
Right
from behind, kind of. So, and then also there's this, like, you can hear people getting scared in front of you and you're like, well, damn it, I know where that is. Although I did see somebody get scared and then get scared because I forgot. But that was also a thing. But yeah, that was kind of my only complaint. And I think with like a little tweaking of lighting and like a good pace throughout it, of like letting how many people go at what times, you can tighten that up to a fucking legitimately terrifying walkthrough.
Yeah, and I think that's really something that is going to kind of like happen as time goes on with them putting on performances. Because like I said, we were basically the guinea pigs for this first like full run through of, you know, paying customers and stuff like that. So I know with any other haunted houses that I've gone through in years prior, like if you hit it like, you know, in the later part of the start of like their first shows or in the mid-level, they've worked out the kinks, you know, and stuff like that. And I think the kinks for this is really just going to be like the timing of the scares, because the timing was good for a lot of them, but then there's some of them that they could use a little tweaking on. And like you were saying, there's certain lighting things that I think like in certain areas, if they put
worked
on
great.
Like, so yeah, I think that stuff is going to change as time goes on with it. But they're very minor gripes, like very, very
super
minor.
Yeah. I had a blast. I'd recommend it to everybody.
100%. And, you know, as far as like haunted attractions go, this is the kind of one that's fun. You can kind of take anybody. You know what I mean? Like, there's nothing like, sure, there's stuff that's like gory and like the blood and all that stuff, but you can take pretty much anywhere to anybody to this. And I'm glad that they're leaning more towards that style of haunted house as opposed to that weird extreme shit that they tried doing for like 3 years. I don't know who thought that was a good idea.
Like, where they actually kill people and stuff.
Yeah, dude, like, yeah, we're going to take you out to the middle of like Virginia and we're going to blindfold you and then somebody's going to pin you on the ground and puke in your mouth. Like, can you last? Like, what the fuck? Those are not haunted houses. Those are just those are crazy. This is a truly fun haunted house set about like around movies. Like, and you know, because they can't use like property that's copywritten and stuff like that, it's all stuff that is like film property adjacent, we'll call it that, you know. They do a great job with it, all the people that are doing it. Also, here's the other thing, you're supporting out of work actors right now because of the strike. Like, straight up, this is how they're paying their bills right now too, you know.
And the people working there were real, real cool and real nice.
Yeah, they really were. They were awesome people. One of the guys, Bobby Blade, is his character. You'll see him if you go there. He's like a straight up legit visual effects artist outside of this. Like, he works for horror films and does like straight up prosthetics, like all the practical effects that we love. So absolutely.
And it's a genre bending or blending.
It is. Yeah. It's all over the place as far as the genre goes, because it's cool because you have different stuff. You have slasher stuff. You have satanic stuff. You have
monster stuff.
Monsters. Yeah. You have creature feature stuff going on. You have you have some cool like
haunted housey, like old timey, like haunted housey stuff. Like, it was cool.
Yeah, you had somebody. There was somebody giving a demon birth in the middle of it, which is awesome. Yeah. Like, it was like, that was cool as hell. Yeah. The website to go to if you guys want to go and buy tickets for it is facetheterror.com, and that'll take you directly to the Terror Vision website. You can get your tickets on it. They have multiple showings each night. And like I said, it's easy to get to. If you're in New York City, it's close to like the main subway hub to get to anywhere in the city. So if you're coming
off, it's really easy to get to. Yeah.
Me and Graham don't even fuck with Times Square like that. And it was easy to get to. No,
super easy.
No. So facetheterror.com. Please support it. Go out and support these actors during the strike. Support horror, support haunted houses, support Halloween. Absolutely support it. And with that, do you want to give out some recommendations for haunted house season?
For haunted house? Yeah, I got a few. I got three. Which I really, really love. I'm going to go with more of a festy one, like a haunted house.
Sure.
Like we were just at. The Hell House LLC.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Pretty fucking cool.
They really are.
There's three of them. I've only seen one, but I will see the other two pretty soon here.
The other two are dope.
Yeah, that's what I've heard. The Innkeepers, which is a Ty West movie. Super on the, like, atmospheric, creepy side. That's one of my favorites. And then
legit scary, by the way.
Yeah.
Like, that's a legitimately scary movie.
It gets under your skin. And maybe my favorite is We Are Still Here with Larry Fessenden and Barbara Crampton, directed by Ted Keoghan.
Ted Keoghan. I believe it's Keoghan.
Okay, yeah, he's rad. He did Brooklyn 45, which is another good haunted house.
Dude, also with Larry Fessenden.
Yeah, but those three are some of my favorite haunted stuff.
Absolutely fantastic picks. Okay, so I'm going to kind of piggyback on one of the ones that you said. Since you did Hell House LLC, I will recommend the houses that October built.
There's
two of them. I believe there's only two. There might be three, but I think there's only two. If there is only two, I've seen those two, and those both rule. They're like found footagey haunted house, and they work really, really well. Those are awesome. And then also streaming on Shudder, one of my absolute favorites that I remember when this movie came out. There is nothing about it that I looked at that says I'm going to love this movie. When I saw the cover of it, I was like, this is probably going to be kind of, you know, just run of the mill cookie cutter, blah blah blah. That's the movie Haunt.
Man,
that one caught me way off guard in the best way, and now it's one that I will recommend every single year because they take the haunted house concept and they do kind of what you would expect with it, but in a very unexpected way. Like, it's just, it's very good and it's brutal. Like, it's one of those movies that, like, I don't think you realize kind of what you're walking into. But it's high on the brutality scale. They do some really fucked up stuff in that movie, but very well done. It's a very well done movie. It's like the acting is good. It looks really good. The brutality's up there. The scares are there too. And also by the end of the movie, it's very hard to figure out that ending. Like if you're one of those people that tries to figure out the twist or whatever it is, this is one of those ones that's tough. Like, and so it'll make you work.
That's such a good one. Yeah.
Yeah, excellent. Really, really, really fun one. And then for my physical media one, I will recommend one that I think a lot of people just didn't see. It's from Cinedigme, and it came out right around the same time that Haunt did, and also a film that I would recommend, but it's a lesser film called Hellfest. This one is called Bloodfest. So Bloodfest is from Cinedigme, and if you don't know Cinedigme, they're the ones behind Terrifier 2, and also the ones that are behind Screambox. This is one of the movies that also has Spider-Man's best friend, played by Jacob Batalon. He's in it. He's in it for the whole movie, too. So it's not one of those things that he just shows up for 5 minutes and they put him on the thing. He's there for the whole movie. And it's one of those ones that's kind of like you go to this thing that's like the big festival of the town and blah, blah, blah for Halloween. It's a traveling haunted festival that everybody's going there thinking that it's just going to be a Halloween fest.
Funsies.
Yeah, just for a little fun time, a little scare here and there. No, it's somebody filming an entire horror film and you're now part of it. And that's not a spoiler. That's something that you find out in the beginning, but that's what it's about. You go to this thing, all of a sudden the doors are locked, the chains are on the fence, and you are in the middle of a horror movie. So all the people that were supposed to be there scaring you are now hunting you. And it rules. It's a very, very good one. So that would be my physical media one. And also, I think that's actually on Tubi as well, because everything is on Tubi. So if you don't want to get the physical media, you can check it out on there. But yeah, we wanted to throw it out there to review this. We wanted to tell people that are listeners, tell people that are in New York to go check this, check out TerrorVision. They need the support. They will appreciate the support. They're very good people that are running this, and like I said, if they're doing Six Flags Fright Fest, they know what they're doing, so you're gonna have a fun time with it. And do we want to do a shout out to our Patreon people, Graham?
Yeah, I'm just looking up, it's on Freevee. Bloodfest is
Freevee. Okay, so cool. Yeah. That's Freevee is like it's
IMDb, used to be IMDb,
it's IMDb's free stream.
It's not bad, yo. That's where fucking Jury Duty started.
Oh shit.
The show Jury Duty was on Freevee first, and then it got so big they're like, oh, we better move it to Amazon Prime.
No, Freevee rules. I've actually seen a lot of cool stuff on Freevee.
A lot of good stuff. The Army of the Fucking Goddamned, our fucking team. Drew Muldowney, Stephanie Gurley, Katie Wyking, Chris Fortune, Alan Graham, Bacon Bits the Cat, Angela, Jasmine Pettit, Jason Daniels, Jake Jolly, Ron Canaba, Kristen Pearl, Manny Velasquez, and Coleman Rosenberg. Y'all fucking rule. Thank you.
Yes, you do. And also, as you guys heard on our last episode, we are now a proud member of the Morbidly Beautiful platform. So you guys should go to morbidlybeautiful.com. You should check out all of the stuff that they've got on there, whether it's reviews, whether it's lists, because we fucking love lists. And then after you're done listening to another goddamn horror podcast, you can listen to some of the other podcasts that are on there as well, because they have some awesome stuff on there. We're very happy to be a part of that, and happy for you guys to go check it out, because again, very cool thing. They're great and you should support them more too. If you support us, you should support Morbidly Beautiful as well. They're great people. And we missed Ryan on this one, man. We missed Ryan. He would have had fun. He probably would have
brought up Satan's Slaves from Indonesia. He said that's his favorite. So I'll throw that out for him.
Fuck, you know what? You know which one I forgot that I should. Which one? I'm going to recommend now.
Here you go.
Gungium Haunted Asylum.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Dude. That one is a good fucking movie. Like, just front to back. That one is really good.
Yeah. I'm more of a Satan Slaves guy, actually. But, yeah, they're both, like, as far as haunted shit.
Satan Slaves is fantastic. Both of them are.
It's really, yeah. And the Communion, the sequel to Satan Slaves.
Yeah.
Just as good.
But as Ryan would say, if you guys are going through anything, reach out to us. We all do this together. We're not doing this alone. This whole life thing, you know what? It's hard for everybody sometimes. So, if you're ever going through it, reach out to us individually, reach out to us on the podcast page. We're all about talking to you. We're all about going through things with you, and listening to what you have to say, whether it's good, bad, or otherwise. You're not doing it alone. So definitely reach out to us if you need to. And on the flip side of that, make sure that you guys do not forget to start some fires and break some glass. We love you.
And remake everything.
Remake everything.